This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 5:15 and you're listening to The Evening Edition with Sharmila. We're basically going to be talking about how it benefits an MP when they are aligned to a government. Is it a question of money? And with this recent spate of defections from the opposition, will we be seeing more of this as we come closer to election? And this comes on the wake of the Brow MP Stephen Chung and July MP Larry Sung, who quit PKR to support Muhyiddin yesterday. So Larry Sung said that he made this decision after consulting with his constituents. And just to quote from what he said, "I have been unable to serve Julau effectively through lack of much needed development funds, which is badly needed. With this move today, I'm confident that I will be able to deliver my election promises to my electorate." See, he also said that it is important to put politics aside for now with the sort of unified aim to rebuild the economy. He did also step down from his position as Sarawak's PKR chairman. Stephen Chung said that there's a need to access ministers to solve problems in terms of things like floods or waste dumping or illegal money lending and so on. The aim then would be to work with the finance ministry to improve the tax system as well. So all of these sort of brings about this question of when it comes to defections, is it something that perhaps at this point in time might actually be something that's good for us? Is it in fact that question of putting politics aside and working for constituents, working for rakyat? Now, just to look back at the question of Muhyiddin's numbers, of course, Budget 2021 was passed with 111 MPs on Muhyiddin's side. And after that, two MPs left, Padang Rengas MP Datuk Sri Nazri Aziz and the Machang MP Datuk Sri Ahmad Jazlan Yaakob. And that brought Muhyiddin's base down to 109 MPs. So the weekend's defection now brings that up to a simple majority of 111 MPs. Now, a few UMNO reps who were seen as being rebellious to Perikatan Nasional said that they received 100,000 ringgit in terms of annual allocations compared to the Perikatan Nasional counterpart, who got 3.7 million. So this again goes back to that question of money and whether basically aligning yourself with the government could serve you better, to serve your constituents better in that case. So let us know if you have thoughts on this. You know, do you think that as an MP, their responsibility lies with not so much their political affiliation, but what serves you best, even if that means bringing the money to serve you better? You can call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. Now, to help us make some sense of this, we have on the line with us Dr. Firdausi Sufian, political economist at UITM Sabah. Firdausi, thanks so much for joining us.
Hi, Sharmila. Hi. Yeah, thank you for inviting me.
So let's start with these defections. What do you make of these defections that took place over the weekend and the timing in which they took place?
Yeah, this is interesting. Well, this is the first anniversary of Muhyiddin Yassin and Pakatan Nasional, if you look 1 year ago, right? So if you look at it, the defections, obviously, first of all, we have to look at Muhyiddin is running a minority government. So, of course, he's desperate to strengthen his position. So this is where we have to factor in real politics, right? Because he will do whatever it is. He is the prime minister currently. And then, against the backdrop of a state of emergency. So, obviously, he will strengthen his position. He has lesser institutional constraint, and then lesser scrutiny from the MP. Or he will definitely use whatever it is, right, to engage in horse trading and offer perhaps a lucrative reward for those who support him. And this is what I mean. A desperate person will engage in desperate measure, isn't it? He will strengthen his position.
So this is coming, of course, as the Agong just said, that the parliament sessions can be held again during an emergency. Do you think this had anything to do with these developments?
Well, obviously, even before the statement from the Yang Tuan Agong, the moment when he declared state of emergency, we know that he has lost the majority, right? And even before that, there are so many MP already pushing for election, especially from UMNO themselves. So, from UMNO, so if you look at, there's a cluster, they call it the court cluster, all right? And then Mahathir, and together with Tengku Razali, was pushing, it is not the real government, it's a backdoor government. So obviously, I think Muhyiddin has seen this coming. So the horse trading and to lure more people to join him, I think it's already happened. And the declarations of the state of emergencies give him much more convenient way to lure more MPs or to defect from other parties. So obviously, after the Yang di-Pertuan Agong say that it can be reconvened, but we have to take this very carefully as well, because the statement says that it is based on the Prime Minister advice. But even though it is based on Prime Minister advice, so if it's based on Prime Minister advice, therefore we don't know when is the best time for him. But he still needs to show that he has the number, because if it's reconvened, if Parliament to convene, say, next month, right? So obviously it's a minority government. People would definitely push for vote of no confidence. So to avoid that, so he has to show that he has the number. So that's why the horse trading, I think, happened even before that.
Now, to get to those two MPs who did defect, Stephen Chong and Larry Sung, now they cited the need to align with the Prime Minister in order to serve their constituents. How does it benefit an MP's constituency if they are on the side of the government?
Well, obviously, better access of resources if you are with the government, right? So even before Larry and also Stephen Chong actually defect, there's already one Warisan Adun defected and supports GRS in Sabah. So, when you talk about defection, switching allegiance, all right, we learn this very well in Sabah. Obviously, it's always boiled down to access to resources. Now, they themselves, especially from the MP Larry, he himself say that, his constituency is one of the poorest constituency in Sarawak. So he needs more money to help the people. So it is obvious from that statement is to get a better, if you give your support to Muhyiddin Yassin, especially at this juncture, I'm sure there will be a political reward. And here, he will have a better access to resources, right? So when we talk about switching allegiance, we learn this very well in Sabah. We have a saying for that. We call that politics look after belly, politics jaga perut sendiri. So I guess it will benefit. It will benefit the MP, because you switch side, now you support Muhyiddin. When he doesn't have support, you support him now. And now he got 111. He needs one more. So obviously, definitely there'll be reward behind it, isn't it? There's nothing come for free when it comes to Malaysian politics.
So in terms of that reward, how do you think voters might react to this reason from their MPs?
Well, this is always a moral question. See, when someone defects, so people will always think that, oh, we should have anti-hopping law. This is bad because this is a betrayal of the people, because people vote you under the PKR ticket and then now you switch side and then to other party. Well, this is a moral question, because our constitution allows those MP, it's a freedom of association, right? So when it comes to moral questions, so there's no legal ground for that, because it's more on ethical question, right? So when it comes to ethical question, well, the MP is free to do so, but of course we don't know what's going to happen later. But but this is always the question I always ask when. The common reason that MP, when they defect, they always have this reason. Right? If you look at, because I look at Sabah politics for almost, if you look at, for the past 20 years, there's a lot of defections. Right? They always say that it's for the people. But the question is, Which people? Who are the people? So those example, if that 40,000 that voted for, is that really you ask all the 40,000 people that, look, I'm going to switch the party, I'm going to switch party, then it is good for you. Obviously, it's not, isn't it? Right? So you switch party again. I mean, I don't know whether it's right to say this, but it's just that what we call a politics dari makan, right? So politics jaga perut sendiri, or politics look after your belly. So well, if they switch, right, if they bring some meaningful development, right, but the reputations of switching were always in the people's. It will always stick to their voters. The voters will always remember that you have switched. So we don't. So the fate of that MP, again, will fall under the GE15, whether or not, again, how they want to maneuver and, again, to get the voters confident.
So speaking of that maneuvering, how stable is Muhyiddin's base right now? Should we be expecting more MPs to either defect into PN or out of the coalition?
Well, how stable right now? This is a very interesting question, right? Because ever since GE14 after 2018, I think most of the prime ministers are not stable in terms of position. We never thought that Muhyiddin would become prime minister today, and we never thought that Mahathir resigned, right? So this is a quite tough question, but for now, he has 111. So people will see that, okay, those who might probably have disagree with Muhyiddin, they see that, okay, now you have 11, he needs one more, basically, right? And probably there might be a few more that will jump, we don't know, all right? But the fact that he is the prime minister, right? And then he still can deploy a very lucrative horse trading approach to lure more people to support him, right? Because we really don't know. But we also know that before this, I think if you still remember the Anwar Musa case, so you can see that some of the UMNO people actually wanted to support Anwar Ibrahim to become prime minister, right? So all this, how stable Muhyiddin is, we are not so sure. But what we are certain is that now he just needs few more people to build that confidence and to get that majority.
In terms of Pakatan Harapan, then, you know, there have been some dissatisfactions within Pakatan that with Amanah leaders criticizing PKR for recruiting 3 MPs from Amanah in Johor. This has led to some to call for inter-coalition rules against party hopping. How significant are these sorts of tensions and disagreements?
So when we talk about so this is very interesting. So I would say this, you know, switching back in the same boat. So when we talk about inter-coalitions and when we talk about party hopping, right, first of all, I think it's okay to have if you want to switch allegiance, but it's always the question, the manner of when you switch, if it's leads to the collapse of the government, right? That is so unfair for the people. But if you switch because you have no longer have confidence with the leader, with the party vision, I guess that's all right. Now, for this one, I guess the significant, I think now here is just more on the political, it's just politicizing it, because now I say that if Anwar accepts that, then it will compromise his principle, because PKR have making a very clear statement, say that we do not support party hopping and we're not going to accept any, you know, party hopper. So this is more politicizing between them. But the extent to which how significant it is, I don't think it will give so much significance, because it doesn't lead to a downfall of a government, right? But what we always question, what most academics always question, is that when you switch allegiance, leads to the collapse of the government, that is so not fair for the people.
Firdausi, thanks so much for speaking with us.
All right. Thank you.
That was Dr. Firdasi Sufian, who's a political economist at UiTM Sabah, talking to us about the question of party hopping and whether when MPs do move to a different party, it might benefit us. Are there times when it's okay? Let us know your thoughts. You can share. You can call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018 789 8899, tweet us at BFM Radio.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.